I greet the saints of the living God. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you all. I'd like to present a little study in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You might want to open your Bibles ahead of time to Matthew chapter 24, and then put a finger in Mark chapter 13, and we'll go from there. This little study is entitled, Watch Ye Therefore. Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. What does this mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. It doesn't mean what it has been taught it means, specifically taught by those who seek to manipulate a skewed interpretation of a reshapen false wind of doctrine. It happens to mean what it says. Watch. Watch. Be vigilant. Aware. Not caught doing something that takes our eyes from the simple task of holding fast to our faith and the keeping of our souls. Matthew, Mark, and Luke speak of this well, by way of the words of Jesus Christ himself. Grab your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Starts out with an absolute. Verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Meaning? If we are not vigilant to watch over our souls and the work in Christ we have been called to, we stand to lose our way. Since we do not know when our souls will be required of us, we remain vigilant. Do not let the "if the good man had known" phrase throw you off. This phrase is what gives life to the false teaching that we can know the day and hour of Christ's return. This is not what is meant nor implied. Since we cannot know, we must stand watch for our souls. What's so hard about this? And the following verse is the verse which proves the preceding verse, Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Therefore, since we cannot know, we must be ready always, ready, vigilant, prepared, found in Christ. To give you a figurative example, it's like you sitting in your quiet little house in the long watches of the night. Your house is quiet, clean, and those in your house sleep peacefully. This is a picture of your soul, your spiritual condition. Now you, being watchful and vigilant, sit quietly in the rocking chair downstairs, at peace, with the trusty old 12-gauge full of field loads resting on your lap. That's vigilance. That's setting a watch for your soul, for your house. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Good question. Jesus answers it in verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing his job. Blessed is the servant found awake spiritually, you know, so doing, ruling over his or her spiritual house, and vigilant, because he or she cannot know at what hour the thief, or the master, will come. Matthew 24:43. Notice Jesus said, would have, in verse 43. Jesus speaks of a failure to be vigilant, and he speaks in the past tense. Verse 47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Well, here's the blessing. As an earthly master would reward the faithfulness and watchfulness of his earthly servant, the servant would be rewarded with stewardship of all the house and property. He'd hold the keys in his pocket. They wouldn't be ruler over just a few small tasks he or she performed with diligence and vigilance. In performing these tasks, they're given the keys to the kingdom. The servant kept an eye out for trouble. He or she kept the estate clean and in running order, nothing out of place. And to confirm this reward spoken of in verse 47, we have no further to look than Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The reward in Matthew 24:47 is revealed as entering into the joy of one's Lord in Matthew 25. There's the reward all fleshed out in Jesus' own words. Ain't a word about rapture in there, is there? I gotta get me another Bible. And here's the reward for unfaithfulness and slumber. A painful reward, which is implied in Matthew 24:43, Matthew 24:48 through 51. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Looks like the faithful servant doesn't know when the Lord is going to return, neither does the evil servant. Best make a note of that when we're reading Matthew 24. Was this evil servant found watching, or vigilant, or guarding the house, holding fast to his or her faith? Which is the true implication here. No. The evil servant took his or her eyes off their commission to keep their souls. The evil servant found worldly, fleshly pleasures to include into his or her job, to break up the monotony. The evil servant did not even faithfully keep to the simplest task assigned him or her. Will this evil servant be rewarded with rule over all the goods of the master? The reward of entering into the joy of their Lord? Nope. So where do we get the impression that somehow by dissecting these words of Jesus, we can know the day or hour that the master will return to his house? I don't know. I must be numerologically challenged. So be it, I suppose. The Apostle Mark had chronicled Jesus' words about this watching also. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Well, you know, Jesus' words kind of narrows down who knows when the Lord, the Master, the Redeemer cometh. No man, includes everybody on the planet. Not the angels which are in heaven, and that kind of includes everybody that's up there in the heavenly realms waiting on God. Neither the Son. That leaves the Father. And what does Jesus say in summation in the following verse 33? Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Verse 32 and 33 of Mark chapter 13 confirm the same theme as in Matthew about no one, especially the master's servants, knowing when the master should return. Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Interesting verse. Note that this is a parable. It is parabolic in nature because Jesus uses the words is as. Now this is a simile. And here noted are the various tasks set before the servants of the master's house. Everybody has a different job to do. Note that the porter had the important job of watching and being ready to receive the master when he arrives, in order that he carry the master's things into the house. That's what a porter does. He ports, he carries. If the porter doesn't watch to see the master arrive, the master would have to carry in his things all by himself. Woe to that porter. He'll be cleaning out the stalls in the barn with a spoon for the rest of his life. His reward will be as spoken of in Matthew 24:51. Anywhere outside of the house of the master, you see, is exile, cold, and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cut off. Think about that. Mark 13:35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Verse 36, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. That's the same warning to be vigilant and awake and frosty in your faith, saints. We don't know when he'll show up from his far journey. He doesn't say that he'll let us know. He's not using GPS. He doesn't have a cell phone, you know. Can't text message you. I'm on the way. Clean the place up, you know. Hide the beer cans. We have to watch for him by the windows of our house, on the porch, looking far off to the crest of the hill, to the first bend in the road. Mark 13:37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And by the way, that word watch is capitalized. Notice that. A capitalization of a word signifies a godly thing, a very important thing. And in the Greek, the word watch means, understandably, watch, literally or figuratively. Be vigilant, wake, be watchful. And that's what we're called to do, saints. Watch for the Master's return, not know the day or hour of his return. We carry on with our duties as if the Master is at home with us. We don't do anything different when the Master is away than that which we'd do when he's at home. We'd do everything the same as if the Master was watching every move we make. And we occupy until he comes. And here's another thing about not knowing what's coming around the bend. Read Matthew chapter 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. By its very nature, this scripture implies that we cannot know when temptation will come knocking at our doors. Temptation isn't going to text message us either. We have to watch and pray, not knowing when temptation will come. And therefore, we're told to be vigilant, to watch and pray. Let's take a look at Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, I suggest you read Luke chapter 13, verse 23 through 28, and ponder the answer Jesus gives when questioned as to how many will be saved. Give special consideration to verse 25 in light of what we've studied here. Verse 25 is nasty, but I'll give you a hint about verse 25. Would the house in which the master resides be considered his wedding chamber in Matthew 25, where the virgins enter into? Think about that. Continuing, those who seek to enter in and are not able, in Luke 13:24, these still seek to enter in by whatever means, you know? And this speaks volumes about calling an election. Excuse me, not to put a Calvinist bend to it. I suppose I've loaded you up pretty good on this one, so yeah, take a look at Luke 13:23-28. See where it leads you. It's a long, long way. Do not look past today, saints. Forget that noise. Today is all we've been given by our merciful God. Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, tomorrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough doo-doo flying today in your waking hours. You don't have to worry too much about tomorrow. Jesus says don't. If we believe Jesus' words here, then where does knowing the day or hour of his coming fit into this verse? It doesn't. No thought for tomorrow means what it says. And believe it or not, there is nothing parabolic about these words. These words are straight up and they're absolute. We cannot know what or whom tomorrow will bring. We cannot know when temptation will slither in and attempt to distract and deceive and destroy us. So we watch. These words of Jesus back up his own words about no one knows the day or the hour. Hence, we keep up this good fight against the enemy of our souls and the howling winds of false doctrines everywhere. We cannot know when our master will return to this earth or when he will require our souls. Hence, we are vigilant and faithful to the tasks he's called us to, nothing more, nothing less. Be not the thou fool of Luke 12:20. Don't get ahead of yourselves one inch, brethren. And as long as it is God's will that I have any breath left, I'll be bringing you into remembrance of the truth once delivered to you. Like Peter said, yeah, yeah or yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this body, this tent, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And I charge you that you do not strive over words to no profit, that you be not subverted and poisoned by contentions and controversial preachings. The same thing Paul spoke to Timothy about in 2 Timothy 2:14. The bottom line, saints, I charge you to keep it simple. You keep your spiritual 12-gauge on your laps, saints. You keep your shields up. You watch the windows and the porch and the roads which approach this house you have been given stewardship over while the master is away. And I mean literally, your faith. That's what Jesus is speaking about. Jesus didn't give a flying rip about this earthly nonsense we make so much out of these days. And you know it. You know it. The master could come on any day or in any hour. You be vigilant and be at peace. You know the truth, and the truth is alive in you through Jesus Christ. You watch for the master. Keep your house clean and attend to the duties of this fight, this race. And if it is the good pleasure of God that he give you the kingdom, then hold fast to his promises, saints, real tight. and you keep to the road, endure until the end, whenever it comes to you. I have not spoken to you because you know not the truth, saints, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.